everyone, and welcome back to Southern Fried Storytime. Today, I want to start with something a little different. I want you to close your eyes. Imagine that the air around you is warm and humid. Some of you may not have to imagine this. It is August, after all. Imagine cheerful, lively music as gleeful shrieks fill the air. Imagine the smell of popcorn drizzled in caramel and fried comfort of funnel cake and the warm sweetness of cotton candy. That's candy floss to those of you outside of the U.S. Scent is tied very closely to memory. So let thoughts of those fragrances lead you down memory lane as we head to Gibsonton, Florida, also known as Circus City. Gibsonton, or Gibtown as the locals call it, was originally a lumber town, but it became a winter retreat for many in the traveling circus industry and was often where these performers chose to retire far from the prying eyes of paying customers. In fact, the city has special zoning laws to accommodate its citizens' exotic pets and retired carnival rides. It's the home to the Showman's Museum, which houses artifacts from the heyday of sideshow acts. Some of these are charming and whimsical, like beautiful carousels that the sun has faded into soft pastels. Some are exhibits that are fun and cheerful, like one on the variety of midway games throughout the century. And some will horrify you with images of people that suffer various kinds of disorders and deformities that make them unacceptable in normal society or unable to provide for themselves otherwise. Gibtown was a place where they could fit in and get away from the crowds. As a selective introvert myself, I'm sure these folks would want a break from a year of noisy crowds by the time the winter came around, even if the customers they interacted with weren't staring at them in shock and horror. While the museum highlights the peak of circus and sideshow culture, the town demonstrates how that life is fading into memory. Rusting rides and faded posters hide snuggled amongst the live oak trees in people's backyards. Circus-themed restaurants lay closed, but still demonstrate the pride that this community felt in their work, even in their downtime. One of which was owned by Al Tomaini, who was the tallest man in the world at 7'4" before retiring in Gibsonton. Siamese twins ran a fruit stand together. The post office was the first in the country to accommodate the use of both average-sized and little people because of the very high population of smaller performers and their families in the area. While this might seem like a utopia for those who had trouble fitting in elsewhere, people are people, whether they have conventional careers or not. Most of the little town seems to have gotten along in peace, but there's one in every crowd, and in Gibsonton, that one was Grady Stiles Jr. Grady was born with a genetic deformity called ectrodactyly, which means that his fingers and feet were fused together, making his hands and feet look like lobster claws, hence his circus nickname, the Lobster Boy. I guess that would make his father, who had the same condition and worked for the same circus, the Lobster Man. When he was born with this rare disorder, his father, Grady Stiles Sr., immediately took his son into his act. He grew up into a very angry man with a tendency to drink too much and abuse his wife and children. Two of his four kids were also born with ectrodactyly, and he immediately incorporated them into his act, calling them the Lobster Family. Stiles was confined to a wheelchair and relied primarily on his upper body strength to get around, which unfortunately gave him greater than average arm strength when abusing his family. His first wife left him for another man in town, only to remarry him after he and his second wife had broken up. But all of Grady Stiles' rage would come to a head as his eldest daughter's wedding day approached. He seems like the kind of man who didn't see his family as individual people who would come to form families of their own. He saw them as his things that he had a right to control and possess, hence his frequent violent outbursts. When you see others as belonging to you, you are disproportionately outraged any time they differ from you or your plans for them in any minute way. You feel like they have no right to contradict you or your expectations because they're not people, they're your property. And anything that threatens that control must be shouted down, beaten into submission, or destroyed. Grady chose door number 3 and shot his future son-in-law in the head the night before his daughter's wedding day. So, Thanksgiving's gonna be pretty awkward for this family. Stiles confessed to his crime openly, but since no prisons at the time were built to accommodate his physical condition, He was put under house arrest and given 15 years of probation rather than going to jail. So he got off pretty lightly for a murderer. It would have been nice if he had thought as much about his son-in-law's comfort and safety as the prison system put into thoughts for his comfort and safety. Either way, what goes around comes around, and after a terrible argument with his first/third wife, in 1992, his neighbor, Christopher Wyatt, shot Stiles in the head twice while he was smoking and watching TV. Stiles' wife and son were also charged for the murder, having hired the killer to kill Grady. However, her son from her other marriage insists that his half-brother and his neighbor were the only ones to blame and that his mother had nothing to do with the crime. Stiles was not well-liked, even in the accepting community of Gibsonton, and fewer than 10 people attended his funeral. When scrolling through scary movies, and carnivals and circuses have a massive presence. But why? Why does something so whimsical, the music, the rides, the junk food, the bright colors, why does something so steeped in nostalgia also make such a perfect tool to scare us? Psychologists theorize that it has to do with the desire for youth and to relive our childhood. As a kid, when you go to the carnival, you notice the cool old-timey light bulbs, the bright colors and cheerful music and bustle of the crowds. It seems magical. As an adult, you view the exact same scene with completely different eyes. The rides are rusty and dangerous and in need of maintenance. The ground is a curious mixture of mud and manure and discarded food packaging. Greasy, chocolatey fingerprints litter every surface, attracting dirt and filth to stick to it, and a kid who desperately needs a bath is licking the mirrors in the funhouse. The crowd is so thick that people shuffling around you can't help but bump into you. They're loud and rude and sweaty, and their sweat smells like rancid beer. It's not the same, and you can never get back to the point of view that you've lost, no matter how much you may long to. In my late 20s, I rode a carnival ride with my much younger brother. 10 years earlier, I would have loved this ride, which placed the two of us in a tiny metal cart that flipped end over end as it spun through the air. I used to love this kind of thing, but as I got older, I spent the whole ride focused on the fact that after each flip, the gravity would jerk my head downwards, almost smacking it into one of the metal guard bars, hard. Instead of enjoying the ride as I would have in my younger days, I spent most of it trying not to get a concussion. My brother had fun, so it would have been worth it even if I had knocked myself out cold, but my point is that I got off the ride shocked that something I would have loved years before was suddenly a different experience than I would have had. Our view of things changes as we age. Perhaps it's because as kids, we rarely think of our own mortality. We want that ignorant bliss back. We want to enjoy simple things as freely as we used to. We want to forget the calories in that junk food, the germs on those sticky surfaces, and the odds that that ride will collapse into a rusty heap with you on it. We yearn for a time when those things not only didn't bother us, they didn't even occur to us. Everywhere we look, what we used to love has a shadow side, and it gives us a false impression that something we innocently loved has become corrupted. Make no mistake, the issues have always been there. We just didn't see them as a kid, and the two completely different ways that we view the exact same situation makes us uncomfortable. Or perhaps carnivals fueling fear comes from a less psychological and more historical place. The traditions of carnivals coming to small towns has been linked back to the World's Fair, both those who attended and those who wished they had been able to. It brought the World's Fair home to those who could not travel across the country for one reason or another. This is specifically noted to have begun surrounding the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. This was supposed to have been a truly magical event, with exhibits from the original Ferris wheel made by George Washington Gale Ferris Jr. Whew, that's a heck of a name. Life-size reproduction of Christopher Columbus's three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Performances by Buffalo Bill Cody and Little Egypt, and the introduction of new products such as Juicy Fruit Gum, Cream of Wheat, Cracker Jacks, and Shredded Wheat Cereal. But the event has been overshadowed in history by its own dark side. The fair was bait for serial killer H.H. Holmes, who victimized fair guests in his murder castle, and the assassination of the mayor, Carter Harrison Sr., which resulted in the cancellation of the fair's closing ceremonies. Fairs, carnivals, and circuses have been a subject of fascination and discomfort for over a century now. Do you attend these events yourself? Do you enjoy rides or see them as a rickety death trap? Do you enjoy the music or find it repetitive and annoying? Do you enjoy the food or do you hear your left ventricle slam shut the moment you swallow your first bite of a corn dog? Myself, I'm in between. I can see how too much of any of these things could easily be very unhealthy. However, for a few hours, once or twice a year, I love it. It's harder to let go of concerns we may have as adults, but if you keep these things, carnivals and theme parks, in their place, rather than making them your life, you may find that it is just as unhealthy to never let go and relax as it is to be too relaxed too often. Maybe the fading city of Gibsonton, Florida can remind us of those days gone by when we looked at things a little differently and give us a moment of that wonder again. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed today's story as much as I have. I've been all over Florida, but I've never visited Gibsonton to the best of my knowledge and would love to check it out sometime. I would love to see the museum and learn more about the people who participated in such a different lifestyle. I'm sure they have incredible stories to tell, having traveled so much and seen so many things. I hope you'll join me again next week as we explore yet another Southern Fried story. Thanks again to all of my listeners and especially to Lee for helping this podcast grow. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend and thanks again for tuning in.